Good day, folks. This is Shane Hastie for the InfoQ Culture Podcast. I'm here at Agile India, and I'm sitting down with Todd Little. Todd, you recently joined Lean Kanban Incorporated and the Lean Kanban University.
In August, I came on to join Lean Kanban as CEO. I've known David Anderson for a long time. We worked together when we founded the Agile Project Leadership Network, now the Agile Leadership Network, back in 2004. And so got to know him well, got to know what he was doing, and participated in both in the practitioner of both Scrum and Kanban throughout my years, and decided that this is something that I've seen a lot of initiative, a lot of movement in the Kanban space, and so this is something I'd like to get more involved in.
So, stepping back a bit, what's your background?
So, my background is a chemical and petroleum engineer, actually. Did a lot of software development. I've sort of had a love for software development and got involved in writing software for oil and gas exploration, oil and gas production exploration, and did that for a number of years and just really enjoyed it. And over time got involved in more management leadership roles and was struggling with what other people were trying to tell me as how software should be developed, and realized the approaches they were telling me didn't really work well. And for some reason I was doing pretty well when I was ignoring them and not doing so well when I was following what they were telling me. While that was going on, I came across the things which became agile development and started thinking, this is certainly the first time that something makes sense that people are telling me what they're doing, because it's more or less what I'm doing.
And that's a message that's come across a lot when I talk to practitioners who have been around for a long time. You know, this agile stuff wasn't new, but it's been codified. It's been pulled together as, here are some good ideas.
Yeah, exactly. I learned an awful lot when I got connected to them, because I had been struggling doing it and learning how to do it. But when I started seeing what other people were doing, that early days of the Agile community, we were sharing, and it was just a brilliant space, because there are a lot of like-minded people and not always like-minded people, what we were learning from each other. Going to an Agile event and meeting up with Alistair Coburn in a bar one time, and he started talking about a conference that he was going to be running. And I had just been running conferences at my company and started telling him some of the things that we'd been doing at conferences. And he really liked the ideas, and we got together, and I worked with him to help start the Agile Development Conference 2003. And that was sort of my entry into the community, helping run the conference and the taking the first conference from 250 people and ran it for a few years. Where I think when I left, it was 1,100 people, and now it's 2,500.
2,500.
Yeah.
Why Kanban?
Why Kanban? I think what I see a lot of teams do is evolve towards a much more flow-oriented approach. You know, they start with a fairly structured, rigorous, you know, structured approach, and eventually find those boundaries to be unnecessary as they evolve. That's certainly what I found with a lot of my more experienced teams, is that a flow-based approach is very natural. The other thing about Kanban I think that's really critical is that Kanban tells you to start wherever you're at. Not just tells you to start where you're at, but we provide the teaching on how to deeply understand your system, because only if you deeply understand your system can you actually improve it. So we give you the tools to understand it, and we give you the tools to improve it. And I think a lot of other times people get stuck with, they're told, oh, go inspect and adapt, but they don't know how. They don't know the tools to do that. And so I think Kanban provides that. And I think there's a lot of rich material that's come out of the Kanban community on how to do that, how to use data to make decisions, and also to work on fundamental things, which is improving flow.
So if I'm a software engineering team leader, why do I care?
Well, fundamentally, the challenges that we face, that almost every organization team leader faces, are fairly similar. It's things like, I want to improve my business agility. I want to be able to react to my customers better. I want to understand and make sure that I'm efficient in what I'm doing. I want to understand, do I have issues of scale? I want to understand, how do I continuously improve? So those challenges still are there. Those are fundamentally, they've been around. When I was a team leader, those were the things I wanted to know. How can I get myself more predictable? That's another big one that comes up. And these are all things that, this is why we turn to really any sort of process improvement approaches. In the early days, we thought we were going to get that through very rigorous upfront planning. It turned out that the upfront planning didn't help. And why? Because fundamentally, there's uncertainty. And the uncertainty is not discoverable until the work is done in many cases. So rather than try to fight the uncertainty, we want an approach that embraces the uncertainty. And agile approaches do that. Kanban is I think, what I find is the approach that fits that very well, embraces uncertainty and focuses on flow through the uncertainty, focuses on risk reduction through understanding the flow.
And how does Kanban help a team be more effective at collaborating, for instance?
The thing that Kanban does in terms of collaboration is it says, let's focus on where the work is and what we can do to get work to flow through the system. So we bring the people together. You know, it doesn't necessarily require a massive reorganization or a transformation. It's an incremental approach. First, we understand the system, and we understand where are the bottlenecks in the system. And the nature of discovering the bottlenecks actually is where we say, oh, well, usually that's a form of failure to collaborate. The bottleneck is happening because of handoffs or some other element of dependencies. We try to eliminate as many of those as possible. And if not eliminate them, just shorten them. So usually that often happens through collaboration. Identification that collaboration is the way by which to shorten those delays.
Looking at the wider picture, beyond software engineering, beyond the IT space, what are you seeing that's happening out there, and what are the implications of that for people in the engineering space?
That's a great question. We're seeing quite a bit of application of Kanban outside of IT. It's certainly the approach of Kanban is something that we've taken ideas from Lean that has come to some extent from manufacturing, but the big thing that David Anderson brought to Kanban for knowledge work is taking it out of the manufacturing domain into the knowledge work domain, which is where we have much more different types of uncertainty. So the structure, you know, obviously software development and IT operations are both areas of high uncertainty. That's where we started, and certainly it's an application of in those domains. But there's many other domains that have just as similar types of uncertainty. Marketing is an area that we're seeing quite a bit of traction in, HR, even legal. These are all areas that we're seeing some work. Sales as well as another area. Mm-hmm. And so why would IT care? Well, the reason IT cares is oftentimes what we do is we find that we can improve the ability to deliver products, yet we can't get them through the organization. It doesn't matter if we replace one bottleneck with a new bottleneck. We need to have agility across the organization. Vistaprint had a really good implementation of Kanban in their IT department, and then marketing became the bottleneck. So the marketing department said, oh, we better get this fixed, and look to IT, how did you fix this in the IT side? Now let's apply this in marketing, and they reduced their lead times drastically by implementing Kanban.
One of the things you mentioned when we were chatting earlier was the Kanban maturity model. What's that about?
So what we see is that there's a lot of richness in the science. We've discovered a lot in the time we've learned how to implement Kanban. But you got to start somewhere. And sometimes a really simple implementation, personal Kanban, things like Trello, gives you some really good ways of managing and visualizing work. That's a start. But it's just scratching the surface. That's just visual management. You know, a key element of Kanban is visualization, but it's not the only thing. Many times people think that Kanban is just visual, you know, a board on the wall. That helps a lot, but Kanban is far more than that. It's really about understanding your system, helping you understand your bottlenecks. And so these are the tools. We have a number of tools for how to go design your systems, how to understand the systems, and then once you understand them, you can improve them. And tools for improving, tools for managing work with other teams, work on connecting the upstream part, how does the business flow. So all of these tools that we have are various degrees of maturity, and we want you to start someplace. And if you try to go too deep in Kanban too fast, it's likely not going to work. So we want to provide the tools that people can, and a good way for people to see what else is possible. How could we get better? How can we continue to improve? It's all about continuous improvement. It's a fundamental piece of what we believe in with Kanban, is continuously improving.
So you talk about tools.
Yep.
Can you give us a couple of examples of tools to help identify bottlenecks, say, in a software engineering process?
Sure. So we use a tool called Static. That's one of the key elements of our training, is a systems thinking approach to implementing Kanban. And so with that, what we're looking for is we're looking for sources of dissatisfiers. Where are the dissatisfiers? We go through a step-by-step process that we help people understand what's happening now, what could we do about it? What are the things that we can look at? Where are their bottlenecks? What are the tools that we can look at? And there are multiple ways that we could remove a bottleneck, either by potentially increasing capacity or changing the flow. So there's all sorts of approaches, and there's a collection of these, and we make those, we provide the training for how to do that and do so effectively.
Well, Todd, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today. It's been really good to catch up.
Thank you, Shane.